Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. As you know, this is God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
I dare say that most of us desire God in our life. We call upon Him in that time of need, and it's so comforting to know that He is always available for us. Yet sadly, many of us desire more what is in the world than we desire God. We desire the wealth and the popularity and the power, the alcohol, the drugs, the pornography, the illicit sex, and all the material stuff that we accumulate through the years. There's a story told of a certain jungle tribe who had a unique method for hunting monkeys. The tribesmen would take a coconut, and we're not talking about the small ones that we buy at the produce department at the grocery store, but the large coconuts on the tree, and they would cut them in half. And they would clean the coconut, the fruit out of it, and put the halves back together. And on one side, they would cut a hole large enough for the monkey to get his hand in. And they would place an orange inside of that hollowed coconut before they sealed the halves together. And they would tie it back to the coconut tree. Well, the monkey would come along, and he would smell the orange emanating from the coconut, and he would see the hole, and he would stick his hand in the hole. And then he could not free his hand as long as the orange that had been placed in there by the tribesman was in his fist. And the monkey refused to release the prize, even when he saw the huntsman coming to capture and to kill him. The monkey holding onto the orange in the face of death is just like us. We hold on to things of this world that we desire, even though we risk our spiritual death for them. It's a sad fact that too many of us live in the world. We depend on the world not just for our food and our health, but for our entertainment, for our fulfillment, and even for our emotional needs. For us to become the best Christians possible, we must become losers. We must actually lose ourselves in order to find our lives. And we know that Jesus declares that whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Of course, he was speaking of our eternal life. A loser by our social standards is one who has done nothing of any relevant significance and has made no really relevant contribution to society. However, by God's standards, a loser is one who has totally dedicated his or her life to the will of Jesus Christ. Some might be thinking that I've lost so many battles in life that it's just about time I started winning one. Well, we may have lost a lot in life, but God wants us to know there is more we need to lose. The essence of the gospel, according to the New Testament, is about loss. It's about the cross, about the death of Jesus. The gospel is just not about coming to Jesus as we are. It is about coming to Jesus with less than we have now. It's about coming to Jesus when we've lost our former self and found a new life in Jesus. There was a man who was having difficulty with his leg, and he goes to the doctor, and the doctor diagnoses it as gout and tells him that the recovery process involves him to stop drinking and smoking. And the man said, "Why give up drinking and smoking just so I can walk a little better?" Unfortunately, many of us are like this man. We don't wish to give up anything we desire, no matter what the consequences. Yet there are certain activities in which we must stop indulging if we are to be serious about being a Christian. First of all, we must let go of the orange. Do you believe that Jesus has asked you to give up anything, some possession, some activity, some attribute that you desire, something in particular, in order to serve Him? If we pose this question as people came in this morning, many, I'm afraid, would say no. And they say this because they have not really considered the issue of it being such a possibility, that they would have to give up something in order to serve Jesus. So the first act we must be willing to give up, I believe, is the habit of thinking about, is the habit of not thinking about giving up what Jesus asked us to give up. We must consider that. That is a requirement for being a Christian. The Lord wants us to give up everything we are holding on to, which might keep us from focusing upon Him totally. He will ask us to give up the one thing we vowed that we would never, ever give up. Jesus does this because He knows that if we feel so strongly about a possession or an attribute, then that will control us. And if it controls us, then we have placed it on a higher level of importance in our heart than we have placed Jesus. Think about that, how true it is. If it's so important that it controls our life, then it's going to push Jesus from first place down on the list, second, third, or whatever. I want us to look at our text for the day, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, and I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read Matthew 4, 18 through 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in their boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and followed Him. May God add His blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. What would you have done had you been in the position of Peter, Andrew, James, or John? Some of us might have chosen to consider continuing fishing. And we can substitute anything for the word fishing. Whatever we substitute that's more important than following Jesus is what Jesus is going to ask us to give up. I'm talking about the type of relationship we desire with Jesus. Do we desire the type of relationship which acknowledges the sacrifice he made for us, but does not require us to make sacrifices as disciples and as children of him? And this is the type of relationship many Christians have today with Jesus. And I think many of them are going to find they are so-called Christians because they have not given up that secret little sin, that secret little pull from the world, that secret little temptation that Satan makes upon their life. They acknowledge that Jesus sacrificed his life for them to give them eternal life, but they are not willing to meet the requirement of giving up things of the world in order to follow him. God wants each of us to have a ministry, and he's given us a ministry. It may be service in the church. It may be a ministry where we help others outside the church, in the community. And regardless of what it is, we all must understand that Jesus demands a sacrifice from each of us. Jesus doesn't say, if you would like to give up this or that, please do. I invite you to give up so and so. No. Jesus said, I died for your sin, and I demand that you give up things of the world which take precedent over your loving me and serving me. The sacrifice is to turn away from the world and all the things therein which we desire and cling to. This is the cost of living as a real Christian. A ministry which costs nothing will result in nothing. If we don't have to make a sacrifice, then we're not going to be very effective in our service for God. So the orange we hold on to can be anything in our life which keeps us from being a true disciple of Jesus. It can be anything keeping us from focusing fully on what Jesus wants us to do to further his kingdom. So let go of the orange for your sake and for Jesus' sake. And we must start being dependent on Jesus and not the world. If we want to have the best life we can, we need to have total dependence on God. The one thing we must do before we can accomplish this is to humble our attitudes so we can humble our hearts. Think about it. If we don't do that, we lose everything. If we are not willing to humble our attitudes so that we can humble our hearts, we will lose everything. We will have an eternal life, but it'll be an eternal life of hell and damnation, not an eternal life with Jesus in heaven. God puts the full weight of the responsibilities on each and every one of us, and we need to remember that we are too weak to carry the load without the strength of God. To obtain his help, we must trust him with our very lives. All the people to which Jesus talked fell into three categories: the curious, the convinced, and the committed. And the question this morning is, into which category do we fall? The disciples that we read about in our text who left their nets, their boats, and their father were not just curious. They were way past convinced that they needed to follow Jesus. They were totally committed. The curious show up at church but do not tithe or try to become involved in the church. These people will forever be on the outside of a relationship with God. The convinced are faithful in their attendance and their tithes. They become involved in the church and they know that God is real. But since they will not leave the things of the world which provide them what they desire, they can only know about Jesus. They cannot know him personally. Now, the committed are the ones who have made a definite decision in life to walk with Jesus. No matter what the consequences, the mark of a real Christian is his or her dependence on Jesus, allowing him to lead no matter what the direction. And such a dependence leads into the final action that we need to take in order to be a committed Christian. We must stop trying to. How often do we do this? I've talked about this from the pulpit before, that we can handle it. We can do it. We can solve the problem. We can take control. We can't do that. We've got to learn to stop trying to lead. You know, there are many people in church who sing, "Wherever I lead, he'll go." We are obsessed with our own self-importance, and the problem is we have no importance without Jesus in our life. The way in which we live our lives will always demonstrate the level of our commitment to the Lord. We can say what we will. We can pat ourselves on the back and rattle off all the things that we believe in about Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, and about all the things we're going to do, but our lives lay out the picture. Our lives tell the truth. The way in which we live will determine and demonstrate the level of our commitment to the Lord. Knowing this, the question is, what does our life demonstrate to others? A hard question to answer is, are we willing to truly follow Jesus and allow him to lead us? If we are willing to allow Jesus to lead, just where will he lead? I don't know. I'm not privy to that information. I don't believe anyone who occupies this planet is privy to that. But he might lead us to get more involved in the church. He might lead us to get more involved in ministry to the community. He might lead us to completely change our lifestyle. I think about those people. I think about the Bings who gave up their business here in the community to go and serve in third world countries and to bring them clean water that they may have life and that they may have the ability to live beyond a teenage years or early adulthood. People who have sold all they own. People of substantial wealth and have followed Jesus by giving up all those worldly possessions. One thing is certain. If we are willing to be led, he will lead us to give up the one thing in the world we desire to hold on to the most. So we've got to be committed. We can't just be curious. We can't just be convinced that he is the Lord. We've got to be committed to serving him. Jesus needs people who are willing to follow him to the ends of the earth. It would be nice to say we can make this type of commitment casually and it will not interfere with our fishing trips or our football games or our skiing on the lake or our missing church because of the fun we had the night before. But that's not true. Becoming a real follower requires a very real commitment. Jesus will call us to serve him, and when we are called, the question is, into which category will we fall? Curious, convinced, or committed? Jesus came to take away the sins of the world, and he did so by dying on the cross. He wants us to follow him with our life, and to do so, we must first become a loser. We must lose the sin in our life and lose the heart which always desires to be in control. Jesus is the leader of real Christians fully and completely, or he is not the leader at all. Jesus is asking you to make a decision today. Will you? Are you willing to let go of the orange in order to grab Jesus? If you are, we invite you to come this morning. If you are not a member of any body of believers, and confess your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we'll pray for you and talk about the next step in your journey. Come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 490, Lead Me to Calvary.